scripture reading will be taken from 1 Timothy. Verses 11 through 12. I invite you to stand as we read God's word. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, in which you also were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Please be seated. Heavenly Father, I come before you knowing that in my own will and my own strength, I cannot preach this message or any message with any effectiveness. I pray, Father, that you will take me and use me to your will and to your glory and to the advancement of your kingdom. I pray, Father, that you will give meaning to my words and an eloquence that I do not have. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is about making a choice. Making a choice for spiritual growth. But before I get into that, I want to let you know I have a problem. And that problem is making choices. And sometimes those choices, you know, might be what little minor things. You know, maybe it depends on how I'm feeling at the moment or what my emotional level is. But I have a problem where I have difficulty making choices. For instance, if I want to go and buy a certain tool, I will read all the reviews, I'll look at all the choices, and then not buy it. You see, I'll look at the price and say, well, I really can't afford it, so I don't get it, even though I know I will use it and have enjoyment from it. Sometimes the choices are minor things, like what do I want to eat? If I haven't eaten and I'm getting hungry, and I'll say, oh, there's a restaurant there that has this choice, and there's another one that has this choice, and another has that choice, and then I make no choice. I said, I'll just go home. And sometimes I'll go to a cheap place like the dollar store, look at the item I want and put it back on the shelf because that's not worth it. It's a dollar. Now, those are all trivial things in the grand scheme of things, aren't they? But when it comes to making spiritual choices, then we need to make a decision, don't we? Now, we've been praying, of course, for this church to have more people in it. We've been praying for our Bible school. We've been praying for our food pantry ministry. We've been praying for our literature. We pray together every single day, Phil and I, on every Monday through Friday. On Wednesdays, it's in the evening. But Monday through Friday, we call each other and we spend time in prayer. And I'd like to encourage you to do the same. Find that prayer partner and pray every day for the growth and health of this church and for other things as you might have need. Make that spiritual choice. But many years ago, one of our pastors, never seen it fail. When we become more spiritual, the Lord does great and wonderful things. If the church wants to grow, then we must make a choice for spiritual growth. We must grow in the Lord. So, you know, God, Jesus has given us many blessings. not only redemption, but he also promised us renewal. In Titus 3:5, he says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we come to the baptismal tank and we get baptized, and for some of us that's been many years. Many years. And for some, we haven't grown. Some pastors have taught that once you're saved, you're always saved. Of course, we don't teach that here. We teach we need to grow in the love and the knowledge of Jesus. We need to grow. You know, if a child doesn't grow, it's not healthy. There's something wrong. There's a failure to thrive. Do we have a failure to thrive? Do we have a failure to thrive? And what do we need? So a healthy spiritual life is also a process of growth. A healthy spiritual life is a process of growth. And that doesn't mean we're expecting perfection. But I do believe we can be perfect in our sphere just as Christ is in his. And, you know, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn. But at each stage, is that plant perfect? Not all Christians are growing spiritually. Many have been Christians for years, and we see that there's so little change in the life, so little change in the attitude, so little improvement. And they are no more, often less useful to the Lord than when they first became Christians. Failing to grow, they become stagnant like a pool of water. And this is because spiritual growth is a choice. Spiritual growth is a decision. And it occurs, it doesn't happen by default. We must make decided efforts to grow. We must choose to grow. And we look at what Jesus has asked us to do in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. You know it. You know the verse. It says, teaching. Go to all the world and preach and teach. All that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He commanded his apostles to make disciples and baptize them and to teach them. And implicit in the command to teach, his disciples would be obedient learners, constantly growing as they learned and obeyed their Lord. Are we constantly growing? Are we seeking out things that can change? Are we opening our Bibles? Are we praying in the Spirit to give us understanding and wisdom and knowledge? 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. What are we to grow in? We are to grow in grace. We are to grow in grace. And what is grace? But that favor that God gives upon us. And as we grow in grace, how are we to treat others? You know the golden rule. I was reading the golden rule, and he's talking about forgiveness there in the prior verses. You know, we always saw that verse, but I like to change it a little bit in my understanding. Has God forgiven you? Has God given you many things? And just as God has treated you, just as God has forgiven you, just as God has blessed you, we are to treat others. And when everyone does that, what a wonderful environment we'd be in. We're to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are we seeking to learn more about Jesus? Is that the theme of our lives? Peter in his second epistle, 2 Peter 1:5-8. It says, for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness for love, love. And if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Adding to your faith, such as virtue, knowledge, self-control, abounding in these graces, being fruitful, that implies growth, that implies maturity. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is, have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness. We'll only attain that if Jesus is present in our lives and in our hearts by His Spirit. Now, this requires some diligent effort. It requires some effort. People grow physically by default, unless there's some disorder. But no effort is required on our part. We mature physically whether we want to or not. But sometimes we make the mistake. Don't we don't want to think that just because you grow older, you're growing spiritually. Jesus says in John 6:27 that this requires some labor, some effort on our part. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Paul wrote that it requires work, pressing on. Philippians 2:12, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And Peter wrote that it requires diligence. Are we diligent in opening up our Bibles? You know, you have it with you everywhere you go. You can type it in on your phone, and it'll come up. It can be an app on your tablet or on your phone. You have your physical Bible. There's no reason not to read it. No reason at all. While you're waiting at the bus stop, while you're on the train, while you're on the bus. There are CDs you can buy, and you know, some people don't even know if their radio works. They plug their CD in and listen to the words of Scripture as they commute to work every day. Make the Word of God your first and your last. Every night before I go to bed, I have an app on my tablet, and I'm reading a chapter or two of the Bible. I've been reading through the letters of Paul, slowly and deliberately, thinking about what the words are saying. And if you don't understand what the words are saying or what they mean or how do they apply to your lives, there are commentaries available. There are other works available. And look those things up. But most of all, try to compare Scripture with Scripture and let the Word answer for itself as far as possible. Christians who were not growing, were sternly rebuked. For though by this time, Paul writes, or the author of Hebrews, I should say, in chapter 5, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Again, the first principles are the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. So let me ask you, is spiritual growth an option? Is spiritual growth just reserved for a few Christians? The Word of God commands us to grow. We should remember that spiritual choice, spiritual growth is a choice. Press on. Press on. Ever going forward. Spiritual growth requires regular exercise. 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says, reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of a life that now is and that which is to come. Not easy. We must work on it today, tomorrow, always. But you know the best part of it is? We don't have to go on it alone. We don't have to go on it alone because God will assist us. We're not alone in our efforts. While we work out our salvation, God is at work in us. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, he says again in verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. His Spirit in his presence and his presence produces the new birth. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And God desires to complete his work. And we can rest assured that he who hath begun a good work in you will what? Continue to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. Are you cooperating with his efforts? He wants to overcome sin in you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to make you perfect in him. He wants to make you fit and ready for heaven. Are we cooperating with his efforts? Is he become my all? Do we have an excuse not to grow? We have no excuse. For it is Christ who strengthens us. Are we often battered about by wrong choices? Even though we know better. I know in my own personal life, I made some pretty whoppers. Some pretty good whopper of choices, and they were the wrong ones. I knew better. Did it anyway. If we only turn to the Lord. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that the Lord is able to deliver the weakest of God's children, the weakest of his saints. All heaven would just as soon be emptied and the weakest fall under the power of temptation. Are we availing that power? Are we turning to God when we're tried, when we're tempted, when we're hard-pressed? Yes, we can be blessed by God. But we must go to him and seek that blessing. We must grow in grace. We must rejoice in hope. And what is that hope? That hope of seeing Christ in his glory. That hope of being made like unto him. What a privilege we have. We're brothers. We're children of God. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. What greater position is that? Jesus came. John chapter 10, verse 10. He talks about the thief. The thief comes to rob, to steal, and to kill. But I have come that they may have life. And have it more abundantly. Jesus wants to give you that abundant life. I'm not talking a prosperity gospel here. I'm talking about being happy in him. The Greek word, parousios, I can't pronounce it. I tried many times. Over that which is common, above and beyond. He wants to give you the peace that the world does not understand. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you comfort. Most of all, he wants to give you himself. His arms are open wide. And he's at the door of your heart. You're saying, let me in. so many people leave him there, thinking, oh, they have a relationship with Jesus. But he's outside the heart. And if he's outside the heart, it's like a medicine, it can't work. Jesus needs to be in the heart. Jesus wants to come in. Will you let him in? And when we do that, we'll experience an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. And even if we perish in this life, the Bible assures us that our works will follow them. For blessed are they who die in the Lord and their works do follow them. And at the very least, we know that our labors, we know that our life, we know that all we've done will not be in vain. Because others have at least been blessed by our time here on this earth. But you know, there's some growth that's not good. The hearts of some grow dull. The love of many grow cold. And the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. There is also danger in growing weary and doing good. There's a possibility of growing corrupt according to deceitful lust. There is danger of growing wanting against Christ. There are those who grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is like the growth of cancerous cells. The wrong kind of growth. And the wrong kind of growth can be deadly. In my line of work, you know, I often see patients with heart failure. You know, the heart grows a little too large. We call it cardiomyopathy. You know, different kinds, ischemic, non-ischemic, dilated, you name it. Lots of different kinds, and often those patients end up with numerous pills and devices to help them, you know, help their hearts pump. Wrong kind of growth. And what happens when the heart is grows floppy, it's too weak, you know, and they're trying to squeeze blood, it just doesn't flow properly. And blood is stayed in the heart. It's called ejection fraction, you know, the amount of blood that is being pumped out with each squeeze. And so they need assistance. Can be deadly. But we're talking about that kind of growth. We're talking about that spiritual growth that is commanded by God. And it requires diligent effort. I often joke with patients and other people. I says, I'm looking for a certain exercise machine. I'm looking for the one that I can merely place in my living room and I can look at and get the benefit of using it. Just by looking at it. And if anyone finds one, I would like to purchase it. It doesn't exist. The machine that does it for you, does it all. It doesn't exist because you need to get off the couch and onto the machine and run on it, jog on it, or whatever it does. Lift the weights that it's on it, I don't know. But it requires diligent effort, doesn't it? You can't use it one time and expect it to produce results. And there's other things you have to do as well. For instance, if you're overweight, you have to eat less and eat the right kinds of food so that the combination of the machine and the exercise and the program will get you the desired results. But it requires diligent effort. It's the same in spiritual life. It requires diligent effort. We can't read our Bible and study our Bible on Sabbath or come to church and that's enough for the week. We need to have diligent effort and spend much time in prayer, much time in learning about Jesus. George Mueller had this to say. God delights to increase the faith of his children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hands as a means. I say, and say deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith. We should take them out of his hands as evidence of his love and care for us in developing more and more the faith he is seeking to strengthen in us. You remember George Mueller. He was the great leader, founder of the orphans in England. And he did it entirely by faith. There was no money. And often the children said, what are we going to eat? And he says, God will provide. And they set the table, and there'd be a knock on the door, and my wagon broke down. Do you need this bread? My provisions, I have too much. Can I give it to the children for the orphanage? And this happened time after time. Great man of faith, do we exercise faith like that? Are we willing to step out in faith? Are we willing to put that diligent effort? We can talk all we want. Church has plans. Conference has plans. But unless we step forward in faith, that's all there will be, is plans. We must move forward. We must diligently seek the Lord. We must learn of and seek with all our heart. Jesus is waiting. Are we running towards him? Are we seeking him with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength? I'm going to close with a little story, as I always do. It's in a book called Moments for Mothers. It's about a family, mother, father, and a young daughter. Time went on, and the daughter grew rebellious. She said, I've had it. I've had it with your stupid rules. I've had it with your stupid religion. I've had it. I'm leaving. Well, she was young and had no skills. But she says, I'm going to go live a life without restraints. But soon became enslaved to her liberated choices. As you can imagine, the end result, for when we always go against God's will and God's order, the result is always going to be misery and deprivation. And as a result of this, she lived on the streets and sold herself for pennies and depended on rescue missions for survival because of her self-attached, her self-imposed detachment from family. She didn't even know her father had passed away. But what she also didn't know is that her mother never quit looking for her. One day, as she was in a shelter, she saw a picture. It was a picture of her mom had posted in each of the city's homeless shelters, and scrawled across the photo of the mother were the words, I love you still. Come home. In wonder and disbelief, she set out for her home in hopes that indeed she was still loved. By the time she arrived, it was the middle of the night. Her heart raced as she stood on the porch and prepared to knock. But as she was about to knock, she noticed that the door crept open. She ran to her mother's bedroom in fear that someone had broken in and harmed her. She desperately reached to her mom, and the woman awoke quickly to embrace her wayward daughter. When the young woman explained her fears about the open door, her mother replied, no, dear. From the day you left, the door has never been locked. We may wander away from Jesus. We may wander away from God. We may do all these terrible things. things. But Jesus says, I love you. Come home. When we come to Jesus just as we are, filthy, dirty, rejected by the world, maybe rejected by friends, rejected by everybody. But Jesus says, come to me, just as you are. Jesus says, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Are you willing to come to Jesus? Are you willing to learn more of him? Are you willing to say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. I want to grow more in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. And I hope that is your desire as well. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll dismiss us with your blessing and that you will strengthen us and encourage us to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus and to learn more of him. And may that be the theme of our lives, more about Jesus and more love to thee. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.